Broadcasting to the world. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Listeners, this is Star, and you are listening to Teen Sations, where we always, always have something to say. And of course, how can I go on without introducing our lovely teen co-host, Edric?
I have something to say.
Great, and we're glad you have something to say, to sing.
Hi.
Miranda.
Hello.
And Drew.
Hey.
How's everyone doing? Staying warm?
Yeah, I'll try. Really cold in Binghamton.
Oh my goodness, I can't even imagine. I'm here in sunny Florida. It's actually, people are wearing winter coats here too. It's 60 degrees.
So oh
boy. It's a winter weather for them as well. Of course, we always like to go over current events, what just happened in the news. Big news, George Lucas sold Star Wars. Did you guys hear that?
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
He sold it for $4.05 to be exact, $1 billion to Disney. And he's donating all of that to education.
Wow.
Good.
I think that's pretty cool. He basically is giving $4 billion to education, like I would give $20 to someone. So he's certainly accomplished a lot, and I think he's
all
and
of it.
What?
He's giving all of it.
All of it. Every last penny. So he's definitely made it to the point where he wants to now take the philanthropic route and just really work on helping the education system, which is very great, and especially individuals who are at that level to give back. But every single penny, it's a lot of money. another major event is, did you guys hear about the iPad Mini?
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, last week, were you guys in line? Did you sleep over?
Nope.
No.
Want to be the first person in line?
No,
apparently they didn't. The sales weren't. Oh, what'd you say, Tashin?
Oh, I was going to say that I feel like it's not as important or like special as just the regular iPad. Like it's
right,
just not
so
special anymore. Coming out with the Mini.
Yeah, it's supposed to compete against the Kindle because it's that same size. But it's basically like a bigger iPhone but a smaller iPad. But they said that they sold out of their online orders, but they didn't do as well with the in-store purchases. So we'll see what the next thing that they come out. We were saying that they're going to come out with like a what do they call it? A nano iPad, like a tiny one.
Like the iPhone.
That's like, iPod. Yeah, basically the iPod.
Yeah, but tiny. Oh, my God. Oh, gosh. But, of course, tonight we're going to have sort of an open forum. Lots of events occurred, two major events that we're going to discuss tonight that definitely affected a lot of the people of our nation. Hurricane Sandy, it's actually still, we're still recovering in New York and New Jersey, and you guys especially can speak upon that because you're going through it and you have families that are living amongst that the chaos that occurred. Drew, tell us what happened that week and what your parents were saying, your aunt, how it actually was, how it's taken care of. Did they feel as if they were attended to properly and everything?
Yeah, I mean, back at home, my dad's house got hit by a tree. Tree fell on it and destroyed the chimney and knocked out part of the roof. So that needed to be fixed with the storm. They were without electricity for I think like 9 or 10 days. And at my mom's house, that was without electricity and obviously heat for I guess 10 days too. And yeah, my mom had to go live with my aunt for that week, those 10 days. So yeah, it was pretty bad.
And do they see any recovery happening now that we're on basically, what are we, the 11th day or 12th day?
Yeah, I don't think they lost electricity in the recent, I think it was like Andrea was, I forget the name of the winter storm we just had last night.
Okay.
I don't think they lost electric through that, but yeah, after the 10th day when they got the electricity back, I think everything was pretty much getting restored pretty quickly. But it still took the 10 days or 9 days to get to that point.
Right, which is a long time.
Yeah, so I guess, I don't know.
What about you, Edric?
Well, the hurricane didn't really affect my parents too much. However, their business was, it's in lower Manhattan. So they didn't really go to work for a few days, and they just stayed at home. And my dad told me that it was extremely difficult to buy gasoline, and it still is.
It was extremely what?
Difficult to buy gasoline.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
2-hour lines.
But I think my parents were really lucky because, like, my parents had friends who lost their homes, literally.
Wow. Yeah, so, I mean, you don't think of hurricanes occurring in that area, in the tri-state area. Of course, I lived in Florida, and everyone expected it. You knew when hurricane season occurred. You had routes, emergency routes that you had to go to. You knew which way, depending upon the notifications that you received. But in New York or New Jersey, it definitely was something that they didn't experience before. What about Tashin? We saw on the news the perspective of what happened by the camera showing us all the devastation, but what were they talking about? Did they present accurate information? Did the media present accurate information?
Yeah, definitely. It didn't really affect my family as much, but I know people that live near the water, their houses were destroyed, and they don't know where to go. I know one girl who's roof blew off, and another girl who literally had to live at someone else's house because they didn't. And like, we're not used to hurricanes at all. It's like having snow in Florida. You have like one inch, their school gets like canceled. We had 7 days of no school, which is pretty crazy for New York because we can like go around in blizzards, but I guess not hurricanes. But yeah, it was pretty bad. Yeah.
So, Drew, you can speak about this. A lot of people are bringing up the aspect of global warming. I don't know who's saying this, but people are saying 2012 is when the world's going to end, and this is just an example of it. But it's certainly a note to take that we have to pay attention to Mother Nature and what changes do occur, and after a certain amount of years, different things happen. Can you speak upon that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think this proves or disproves global warming at all. I mean, I don't really think it goes either way. It's just that there's, with the greenhouse gases, when we release the carbon dioxide from our cars and anything we use with the fossil fuels, that creates a greenhouse effect, and that keeps in heat. And obviously we know the heat is a main source of energy for a hurricane. So with the hotter waters, you could see more powerful hurricanes. And they're saying that later in the season, you're going to be getting more of these so-called super storms because of the global warming. I don't think it has anything to do with proving that global warming exists, but I think it's definitely something to look at, to how a stronger storm happened later in the year, which rarely happens. The last time it happened was a perfect storm, if you remember that. So I think maybe global warming
can
contribute to this, but it definitely doesn't prove it or disprove it.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know if they mentioned it on the news, but apparently I looked this up on the internet that the Farmer's Almanac, we can look it up to see if it's actually true. They predicted a storm that would occur in October 2012. So it's not. There are some scientists and researchers who just so happened. I mean, they were able to predict this, and I don't know how long ago they predicted it, but it definitely did not come out of nowhere. If the Farmer's Almanac had this written down. Which was interesting, and certainly interesting to understand, and definitely paying attention. And also another thing that's going to occur is, or be affected, is infrastructure. After a certain amount of, like 10 or 20 years, which we're coming upon that, things need to be restored, and disasters or a hurricane such as this definitely will not help it. So, Edric, tell me a little about the transportation system in New York City and how that was affected in the metro.
Yeah,
the subway.
The subways went inactive during the hurricane. However, some people say that because the hurricane wiped out the power, that's actually I don't think that's true in Manhattan, because they actually shut off the power first. And then the hurricane came and flooded the subway system. I saw pictures on Tumblr on the internet with Times Square Station completely flooded, and then there was like a scuba diver like just checking things out. So I'm actually kind of skeptical about all of that. Skeptical about some of those pictures, because if you think about it, Times Square Station, it's not really that clean. However, in the photo, the water was clear and blue. Like, you can actually dive it without much pictures. And the city of New York did take a lot of precautions to make sure that subway stations don't get flooded. They boarded up the stations, they had sandbags and everything. However, that wasn't enough to stop Hurricane Sandy.
So they did prepare. I mean, based upon, like, if you're someone that's just to look at all these photos that is presented on these different news stations, it seems as though it was a surprise and no one, like, got gas ahead of time, or no, like, I guess the Lower East Side, they showed this long line and this deli because no one had food and stuff like that. People did prepare, and they had things. Is that accurate?
This is actually this joke on the on Tumblr. They say that if you're from New York, your survival package probably is made up of beer, vodka, and maybe food.
But there are adults who I think would have a different survival pack. Tashin, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say that a lot of people Photoshop pictures and just put them on the internet, and a lot of people are believing it. Like, there was this one picture of the Statue of Liberty with the sky kind of reddish, and people, it was just a Photoshop picture, and a lot of people are, not believing that it's real, that it's the hurricane, but it wasn't.
And, so Isaac, you're saying someone was scuba diving?
Yeah, in Times Square Station. Wait, no, it's not scuba diving. It's like, yeah, it is scuba diving. But I really don't think that's a real photograph.
I doubt it. Yeah.
But, like, the stations definitely did get flooded. I saw real pictures.
Right.
Yeah.
And from the outside perspective, which Miranda and I would have, what were people talking about leading up to that storm at your school, Miranda? On, like, I guess they told us about it on Friday. What day did they tell? A couple of days in advance. But how are people preparing?
At that point, people thought that the storm where I live was going to be much worse than it actually was. So people were definitely preparing and actually, you know, hoping that we might not have school the next week and stuff. So.
Yeah, I definitely, on the second day, it was just a lot of debris on the ground, but power was lost in some areas, but not really in D.C. But apparently one student, a university student, to prepare, bought $1,000 worth of food. So that's actually the opposite of the New York motto, as Edric said. This student wanted to make sure that she had everything, even though the university definitely did a great job on providing the food and shelter for all the students, but she definitely was prepared. Did any student at your schools do that?
Binghamton? Wait, you're asking about Binghamton or Stony Brook?
Either. Edric, you can go first.
A lot of us in Binghamton just figured that it's going to be a small storm, and like I actually took precautions. I filled up my bathtub just in case if like it was a flood and the toilet won't flush and stuff like that. But I was one of those people who loaded up on alcohol.
Drew, what was your survival?
Yeah.
What was your way of preparing?
Well, I mean, I think it was Sunday, before the storm. We just went over to one of the food markets. And we just picked up I got Pop-Tarts, cereal, some microwavable things, which really did no use because we lost the electricity for a bit. But I got some food. Didn't go crazy or over the top. It was only about $15, $20 worth of food, but it held me over. Wasn't bad.
Yeah. Justine, did you have any extreme examples or stories that you heard of?
I walked over to 7-Eleven and that's basically it. Then I bought some food and it came back. And the power went out for like an hour or an hour and a half. And that's basically all that happened. And the RAs were like, oh, my God. And they brought us downstairs and they made us unplug everything. But besides that, the food court started to reopen like a day later, like full schedule. So, yeah. Things were they weren't that bad on campus. It's like we kind of live in a bubble. Everything was pretty good. But, like, outside of campus,
I said that.
All the power was gone. It looked pretty bad. Like, my friend was driving at night, and it looked like a abandoned town. And there were, like, trees all over the streets, and, like, the roads were cut off. It was like a zombie apocalypse, I'm telling you. It was pretty bad.
Yeah, and especially in the Northeast at this time, insurance is something that one should, after this, pay attention to because you don't really think about it. Of course, if you're in Florida or places where hurricanes occur frequently, that's part of, like, your insurance. But there's a lot of fine lines of things that actually are under cover insurance and things that don't. For example, I heard a lot of stories with, like, trees falling on houses, depending upon where the tree fell from. If the tree was on the property of your neighbor and it fell on your house versus a tree on your own property, another situation was reporting that a tree may fall on my house pretty soon, basically, like, it looks as if it's going to fall. And then by you reporting it, that means that you know that it's going to fall. So then it no longer, insurance no longer covers. So there's a lot of different different rules and different policies that people in that now have to pay attention to. And it's just really interesting on what exactly covers what. But another thing that everyone certainly saw, in addition to the dire situation that New York City and New Jersey was going through, is the friendship of two individuals. Edric, do you think you can tell me who they were?
It was Chris Christie and President Obama.
Yes, and you got it. You win the new dollar.
I think Chris Christie. I personally think Chris Christie is he's already running for president for 2016. Like that was I think that was why he was so close with President Obama. He knew that President Obama was going to win. I'm pretty sure most people knew that Obama was going to win. And I think Chris Christie, he's actually a very well-respected member of the Republican Party. So he definitely has a shot, and he knows it.
Do you think that helped the campaign, pushed it over, allowed for our President Obama to receive a lot more votes because of that occurrence?
I don't really think so, because New Jersey and New York are already, they're already blue states. So
right, but I mean, individuals watching that from different areas.
I'd say no, it's already very late into the campaign, and I'm pretty sure most people have made the decision way before before October.
Drew, from an independent perspective, what do you think that, do you think that people voted for President Obama because they saw Chris Christie form an alliance with the president, or would it have occurred someone or changed someone's vote, persuaded them to go toward one side or the other, or just what Edric said, they already made their decision?
I mean, it was October 30th, so I mean, I think they did have their who they were voting for already set. I mean, if it was me, I don't think I'd change it just based on how he approved of Chris Christie's precaution to the storm or actions during the storm. So I don't think it really changed much.
So were you guys watching the election, or did you just flip through the channel and just wanted to read? I heard that Facebook and Twitter, first of all, were going, were exploding with different opinions, basically second, millisecond by millisecond. I don't know if you guys were on either one. But certainly everyone's opinions were being presented. Did you guys notice any of that going on if you weren't watching the TV television, Tashin?
Yeah. I know my friend was on his Twitter all day, and he was getting so upset that everyone kept making such, crazy, accusations, just saying, mean things, oh, my God, I'm going to go kill myself if Obama doesn't get reelected. Or, people were just making, they were just going a little too, crazy. Fan kind of crazy. But, yeah, what were you going to say?
There were actually some people who said that if Obama's elected or if Mitt Romney's elected, we're going to revolt or have a civil war. What do you guys think of that?
Well, that's crazy.
It is pretty crazy. But then some people are crazy enough.
I think there's a lot of people who didn't know too much about politics who kind of just made showed their opinion on Twitter and Facebook and Tumblr, and they just did it because
It's actually scary because they're voters and they don't know anything about politics, yet they're voters.
Yeah.
They have the power, and they have the power to influence things, but they don't know what they're influencing.
Yeah.
either.
Do you think there
like,
are more of those? Do you think there are more of those type of voters now, or the same amount as like 10 or 20 years ago? I mean, now we have technology, the internet, you can educate yourself. Whereas, but we still have the library, you can still educate yourself. But do you think there are more of those, quote, like, ignorant type of voters now? And
there
it's
are.
Not
it's hard to tell, I think. Only because we think there's more because of Twitter and stuff like that, because people are actually showing their opinions and you can actually see them this time. But then again, because of technology, we can get more educated and we can know what's going on. Unlike before, where people really weren't able to express their opinions as openly, but they might have been, like, ignorant and we didn't know because we don't have that open, like, space.
Patrick, what are you going to say?
A lot of people don't really know the difference between journalism and commentary. So, So you have news organizations such as Fox News. Like, I watch Fox News, and then I watch it to get, like, a different point of view sometimes. However, some people watch the O'Reilly Factor as it's journalism, and that's definitely a problem. So, like, you have all this new information, but that also makes it so that people are misinformed rather than uninformed.
One interesting fact, Mitt Romney declined in the request of going, when O'Reilly requested Mitt Romney to come on his show, he denied it, which I thought, I'm not sure the reason why. I'm not sure why the campaign chose that route, but I thought it was interesting. Miranda, from your perspective, you have sort of a different one. I know, like, individuals are on Facebook and Twitter just as much as well. Did you hear of anything like the next day or the day of or the day before, any comments or opinions that were spreading within Facebook or Twitter or any social media avenue?
Well, of the people who were really, like, into the election, there was a lot of sort of, like, instant comments. It's actually kind of interesting to just see how quickly people post after they see it on the TV. There were definitely people who were, you know, really into it and stuff.
That's true. I mean, an example, this is didn't happen within my Facebook, but a friend of mine, right when they posted the electoral vote and it showed that Obama won, or is leading, then someone posted, well, that's not the popular vote. He's never going to win the popular vote. And then right after, like literally 5 seconds later, it said he won the popular vote. But it exactly speaks upon what you just said. People are just reacting and just off of one thing and not really getting in the whole information.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I saw some statuses like people laughing at Romney because he couldn't win his home state. I mean, that was at the same time that your current president, couldn't win the popular vote. So, I mean, I think that's even more embarrassing when in the whole U.S. you couldn't win the popular vote. So I think it's a lot of one-sided comments that come out.
So, Edric, our politician, one soon to be, or whatever you may call yourself, break it down for us, the electoral vote and the popular vote, what exactly it means for all those out there who are confused.
All right, so the popular vote is the collection of all the individual votes, not from the Electoral College, but from all the voters in the United States. And the Electoral College is what really chooses the president. If I remember correctly, Obama got, 303 electoral votes, and Romney had 206, I think.
It was 332 and then 206.
Yeah, I was close.
Yeah,
so it's actually the Electoral College that chooses the president, and the Electoral College is based on the population of a state. For example, California has a lot of people, so they may have 55 electoral votes, whereas New York has a smaller population than California, and you have fewer votes than they do. And in some in most states, it's winner takes all. If like the majority of the people of the state votes for a certain candidate, then they get all of the electoral votes, except in two states. I forgot which ones they are. But.
And also, of course, everyone talked about the major states on TV, like Iowa, Colorado, places, Virginia, first they were called swing states. So can you explain to them why swing states are so important, how those and those places became swing states?
If you are you asking Drew?
Or anyone could speak upon it if they want to give the opinion to let the audience understand.
Do you want to take this, Drew?
I mean, if you have a good handle on this, you can take it.
No, it's okay. I've been talking a lot.
All right. I mean, swing states, you're asking the importance of them?
Exactly.
They're supposedly states that could go either way. And, I mean, you got certain states like New York, that's a definite Democratic state. It's always going to be, well, recently it's always been, for, well, this election, Obama and the Democrats. So you have swing states that could go either way, and I mean, it's valuable to get everything you can. So you go rally there and see if you can get that state instead of going to New York, where you're really not going to win the electoral votes from that state.
Yeah. So, I mean, do you feel like individuals, like young adults, actually understand what everything entails, or they just look at it as two individuals that you need to elect, even though there's more than just Democrats and Republicans that are on the ballot, which people don't really look at. But do you think that young people understand what it all entails?
Is this for me? Oh, Miranda, okay.
Well, I don't think that as many people know about all the little things, like, I mean, you know, the Electoral College versus the popular vote. But, yeah, they definitely think that it's only, like, two candidates. I mean, not many people really bother thinking about the other candidates. I mean, they don't go to the debates or anything, or they're not invited, so, yeah.
That's true. What are your thoughts to Sheen about, there's been, I don't know if you know, but there is a definitely an increase in the amount of women who were voted in to Congress, and what that means for our future, what that means for where we're going. What are your thoughts? Do you think that's transcending and that's apparent amongst the young individuals, and now they might feel like they have a chance to have a higher status in politics, and possibly be a senator, congresswoman?
Definitely. I think because there are other women to inspire girls and women now, that they'll feel more like it's accepted. Because I know a lot of women, they turn kind of like rude and mean once they because they have to, because they're competing against men. So they tend to become more rude and mean when they have power. So I feel like sometimes women and girls are intimidated by that, and they feel like their femininity is probably going away. I don't know. That's just probably some people. But because that now that there's more women in Congress, I feel like more girls and more people are going to want to be involved, especially mm-hmm. girls. Because I know a lot more males vote even now than women. So maybe next time in the future we'll have a woman president.
Maybe. Patrick, you spoke upon Chris Christie knowing that he's basically running for 2016, knowing that Obama was definitely going to win. Do you think, and everyone else, I would like to hear your reaction, do you think that Romney's campaign felt that, I mean, obviously they didn't want to show or express that they're going to lose, but do you think that they knew that they had it? I mean, I'm going to read this one comment that was in the Huffington Post, that there was a website by one of Romney's, basically a website, a company, an internet company that created a page for him, romney.solutionsstreamcreative.com, and it was a draft version of the transition website, and it was visible to the public, and it stated Mitt Romney elected the 45th president of the United States, and the site opened with, "I'm excited about our prospect as a nation. My priority is putting people back to work," on the homepage, and then linking to the video of Mitt Romney's acceptance speech. And so obviously this was set down later on, but this, I believe, was visible, they said, for a while on Wednesday. So they basically knew or felt as though they were definitely going to win. What are your thoughts about that?
There were some people who definitely thought that Mitt Romney was going to win. However, I really feel that a lot of the people in the Republican Party saw Mitt Romney as a person that they have to vote for rather than someone that they want to vote for. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people dislike Obama so much that, you know, they really have to rely on Mitt Romney winning the election. So then, like, they kind of kid themselves, you know. It's kind of like the last days of World War II when Adolf Hitler was greeting children who were fighting for Berlin against the Allies, and they actually thought that they were going to win. I'd say it's the same in this case, and I really don't think that this really serious Republicans actually thought that Romney was going to win. Yeah, they might have hoped that he was going to win, but there's no way that he was going to win I think that the only reason why Mitt Romney received the party nomination is because the Republicans knew that he wasn't going to win. And some of the people in the Republican Party do believe that the country is going to go bankrupt in the next 4 years, and they don't want to be in charge when that happens, because if they're in charge when that happens, then they're going to get some serious repercussions.
Interesting. What are your comments? Drew, we'll start off with you, and then Justine and Miranda.
I think they thought they could win. Obviously, Obama was in favor of Obama the whole time. I think most people thought it was in favor of Obama, but I think that only helped the Republican Party in rallying the troops and trying to win it. They spent close to $1 billion on the campaign. It's not like they just completely didn't even try on it. They went all out on it. And I think he actually did pretty well, considering how everyone was in favor of Obama. They thought it would be a blowout. You look at the popular vote, it wasn't too far off. I mean, yeah, it was a couple million, but percentage-wise, it wasn't too bad. I think he did pretty well for the stance he was given in the beginning. But, yeah, I agree that Obama was still generally in favor.
I agree that Obama was definitely more in favor. I remember my friend telling me that even though a lot of people agreed with Obama, Romney really did have mostly around the same like ideas, because he was saying that Obama was for no abortion. Pro-choice, and Romney wasn't, but he was like clarifying that it was no abortion unless you can have an abortion unless you got raped or you have to. Like, he was saying that Romney, even though a lot of people thought he was like against women and stuff like that, it was mostly they basically had the same idea, except for the tax cuts and stuff. But yeah, definitely Obama.
Miranda, what do you think about that website being posted and already basically showing his speech, saying that he's the 45th president, and just already putting, I mean, I don't know how that could have happened as an accident, because these are professionals, putting it out in the main, like, once you put anything in the social, or in the mainstream of technology, it's just out there. And obviously it was caught from by the Huffington Post. What do you think, that was intentional, or what do you think the plan was, or the scheme was behind that?
Sorry, what was the question?
The website being posted up, describing Mitt Romney being president, and he's the 45th president, and his speech that he's going to have. So it was posted up online. It was a draft, but somehow it was posted up for the public to view.
I actually saw that.
You saw it too?
I saw it, but I didn't read through it because I knew it's going to be. I knew it's going to be like the typical victory speech.
Do you think that was part of, it was an accident or part of the, I mean, a game plan or?
Well, from what I've heard, Mitt Romney, towards the end, in the last couple of days, he and his camp were actually kind of expecting that he would win.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the day of the election, I remember them saying on the news that Mitt Romney had said, like, oh, I don't have a secession speech planned. I only have an acceptance speech. And everyone just being so confident that, for the Republicans, that Mitt Romney would win. And I think people... Overall, I think people were thinking that Obama would win, but I think that it definitely came as a surprise to the Republicans.
For the campaign, yeah. Discussing the, in regards to the election process and the voting, there definitely was some changes that occurred that I noticed versus when I voted during the presidency 4 years ago. And of course, I've voted more since then, but just speaking upon voting for presidents, that there is more options. I know that not all of you can speak upon that because maybe you have not voted yet, but are not able to vote yet. But for those of you who are, how do you think the process went this year? Do you think it was effective? I know they had the early voting. There are some states that did not allow for early voting to occur. They had, of course, those long lines. And in D.C., they had same-day registration, even on election day. So even though I voted early, I was able to register that day. But individuals who voted on Tuesday, November 6th, they're also able to register and vote, too. And individuals were also able to vote even if they didn't have that particular state, that license from that state, but they now reside in that state. They're still able to switch it over, and I feel like in the past it might have been, or it may have been more complicated. Do you think that these new changes that occurred were productive or not productive? We'll go with you, Edric, first. All right, Drew, take it away.
Yeah. I mean, definitely in the wake of Sandy and the hurricane, I had to stand in line for 2 hours. And when I got there, I was voting at my school at Stony Brook when I'm really registered for my hometown. So ordinarily that would not work, but I mean, they had these special little envelopes that you fill out the outside of your hometown, and you fill out a little form that you put in there, and it gets sent back home. And then the vote gets registered back at home. So I think what they did was definitely productive, definitely with the storm that happened. You know, a lot of people couldn't get back home even if they wanted to, and
right.
It's too late for the absentee ballot. So,
right.
I don't know. Also, the early voting was a good idea. And I heard if you're out of state and you couldn't get back in state, you could send an email voting. I don't know how true that was, but I heard just some words about how you could vote through email. or you fill out this form online and you can email it to, I guess, US.gov something. And that's how you can vote from out of state.
Interesting. What did you notice, Justine?
Happened? Sorry, I didn't hear you.
What did you notice about the election process, the voting process?
Well, there were definitely long lines and there were a lot of people who were voting, but besides for that, not much.
I'm sorry, we didn't hear you.
Besides for the long lines and people going crazy, but not much besides for that.
Miranda, did they have voting? Were you able to vote at your school, or where did your parents vote?
Well, I can't vote, but my parents voted. The voting center that they voted at was a school nearby our house. So, yeah.
Did they have to wait in long lines, or did they have any opinions about it, or just negative or positive?
Actually, what was funny is that my parents tried to vote early, but they got to the place to vote early, and it was actually a two-hour wait. So they decided to just vote the day of, and it only took, like, 20 minutes that day.
Oh, my gosh. That's interesting. Yeah, so, I mean, just speaking about what Drew was saying, the email aspect and that option, where do you think that we'll be in the future? I mean, everything is viral, everything is on the iPad, everything is instant. Laptops are almost, not obsolete now, but they just seem like, you know, how those big cell phones that were on, like, the movies, like, in the 80s or in the 70s, those huge ones, basically, like, holding a rock against your face. And now it seems as though laptops, that the ones that, like, the, like 5 years ago are, seem so heavy compared to what now is being developed. Do you think we're going towards that route, or still going to keep it the traditional paper counting ballots, or just going all viral? Edric, are you there?
Yes.
What do you think our future is for electing
First of all, I don't really think counties and local governments should handle voting. I think it's the federal government that should handle voting, because if it's in the hands of local counties, it's much less regulated for something so important. And because of fewer regulations in voting in elections, there's a higher chance of voter fraud. For example, in Marshall County in Kansas, it was colored green rather than blue or red. Green meaning that Gary Johnson, the Libertarian candidate, is leading in that county. But but it was green at 12:30 something, and about half an hour later. Wait, is it 12:40 something? Yeah, 12:30 something, and then about half an hour later, it became red with Mitt Romney leading. With the votes completely switched. At first, Gary Johnson had about 66% of the vote, and then half an hour later, Mitt Romney had 66% of the vote. And I don't know if that's a glitch or if it's voter fraud, but that. But the voting system has to be better regulated and easier to access.
I mean, that definitely is a point to think about. Speaking from the voter fraud, an interesting thing, a Florida Democrat, Earl Wood, and an Alabama Republican, Charles Beasley, both won their respective elections. But the one thing is that both men died before the election, and they won. So they're criticized, of course, or they're just wondering, like, how that would happen. And things like this occur where people just they said the possibility of Beasley being elected was individuals just voting straight Republicans and not even looking who that nominee is and just voting straight down the line. But the question is why they still were on the ballot, I guess, since it was so sudden. I believe it was one Wood died on October 15th, and I'm not sure, and Beasley died on October 12th. So that was fairly enough time, but just situations like this are certainly interesting, and that also goes upon individuals who are voting for that candidate, and they may have passed away, but someone else is voting for them or using their names. So there's a lot of that thing. But did you guys hear any of that through the media discussing those type of situations, or did you hear more of it? You probably weren't really paying attention 4 years ago, but did you hear more of it in the past? Do you think that there's less of the voter fraud, or just they didn't really talk about it this year?
I didn't even hear about that, the Beasley thing. I didn't hear about that.
Well, not that one specifically. I'm just saying, in general.
Oh, I mean, it was down in Florida where they're having problems with the voters in this one. I was watching CNN, and they were talking about how they can't get their act together. They can't really. They've always been a problem with voting. I don't know why it's not being handled properly. So, I mean, obviously, it's happening, but I don't know how they're going to fix it,
right?
And how much they want to fix it.
That's definitely an important part too, Edric.
Regarding voter fraud, I think that there's always been voter fraud in the election of 2000. Was it 2000 with Al Gore and Bush, where
they had
a whole count? It was then when they had a recount, right? Yeah. A lot of people are saying, yeah, that's unconstitutional, and Bush won because of voter fraud. So, I'm pretty sure there were definitely examples of voter fraud way before Bush. It can't be something new. Ahmadinejad did it. There were definitely people who did it back in the days of ancient Greece like that.
So it's just basically something that's always going to occur, and you just have to make sure that the process is gets as precise as you can and just putting that into an account.
Yeah, right. Because anyone who engages in voter fraud does not respect the Constitution, whether they're conservative or liberal.
That's true.
And the ideals that are endorsed by the Constitution has to be more widely accepted and more ingrained in our society, so that there would be fewer voter fraud.
You said you think the ideas?
I think that the ideals that are endorsed by the Constitution should be more ingrained in American society, so that voter fraud would be less common. A real liberal should respect the Constitution. And a real conservative should respect the Constitution. Otherwise, they're not. They should be. They're definitely different from their from what they say they are.
So how do we get to that point when we're going towards a future where we're going to be a nation that's a lot more diverse? And the United States is going to definitely be different from how it was 10, 20 years ago. But how do you get to that point where you're saying respecting the Constitution, understanding what it really entails to vote and having that right?
I think that a lot of people should know the history of the Constitution, know American history, because without knowing how the Constitution came to be, without knowing how this country was founded,
people won't really value the rights that they have. They won't really understand the concept of liberty, the innate liberty of people that can't be taken away by any government.
Do you have any comments, Christine?
Yeah, I mean, I think it comes down to the individual. You can put it through school all you want. You can jam it into kids' heads all day long in school. But I think it comes down to the individual accepting and finding out on, not finding out on its own, but accepting it on its own and wanting to learn about it and wanting to accept it and knowing that's the way that you, I guess it just comes down to the individual wanting to learn it.
That's true. And from Cedric?
Yeah, but then there are a lot of people who aren't exactly the smartest types of people in both in the conservative or the liberal camp. You have uneducated people who are actually looking for handouts in the liberal faction. And there are actually conservatives who are actually racist, and they don't know what's going on. So then, like, how are we going to educate those people? Because I know that those are stereotypes within both parties, but then those people actually exist.
Mm-hmm.
So how exactly are we going to handle them?
Exactly, that's the question. How would you handle it? And from a teen, how can you get the teens, Miranda, to get to that point of understanding the importance of having that right of voting?
Well, I feel like, I don't know, I don't think that you can really appreciate having it unless you've experienced not having it. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't think people will ever really, not everyone is ever going to really, really appreciate having that. I mean, yeah, you learn about it in history class and everything, but most people just see it as something that, even though they know it's not true, they think that it's just something that's the norm and that most people get that right. So I don't think that it's something that everybody's going to be able to appreciate.
I think we should learn how to, like, relate it to students because, as we said before, like, everyone thinks that politics is for people that are older and people that can vote, but if we relate it to students and how their opinion matters and how it kind of counts, maybe they'll feel more willing to participate in it and, you know, be more involved and appreciate it.
I certainly think these are all definitely great points to bring about. And like we talked about, our main thing is that having that knowledge and not having that knowledge and possibly that ignorance that we saw throughout this election, ignorance or the knowledge throughout the storm that occurred and what it actually entails. Political intelligence, analytical intelligence is certainly something that it's very important to understand, and a large part of political intelligence lies upon understanding your own, like you said, yourself, understanding yourself, and that basically is going to move us forward, or hopefully not move us backward, but just understanding what you want and what basically voting means. Can we all go around and give us some takeaways from today's show? Edric, start us off. What takeaway do you have from today?
I'm sorry, what's the question?
What takeaway do you have from today's show?
To be honest, I don't know if I learned too much, but because of the election, I definitely have a better understanding of things now because I voted for the first time in my life.
Oh, congratulations. That's definitely a big thing. True.
I think take out of this is that you should vote. I mean, get your word out there. We all have the right to vote. Well, at a certain age, we all have the right to vote, so you should vote. Also, I mean, you have the media stressing that there's only two candidates in this presidential race. I mean, do some research on your own. Don't just listen to the headlines, because that's never going to show you anything about any of the other candidates out there. It's only going to show the two that it wants. So, I mean, get out there. I mean, I've talked to many people online during waiting to vote. No one knew who Gary Johnson was. No one knew who Jill Stein was. So it was a little upsetting to see that those people are thrown into the shadow, probably on purpose, and just not paid attention to. So go out there and research the candidates next chance you get to vote. Make your own educated vote.
Scene.
I learned that before I wasn't really involved politically, and I still am not as much, but I learned a lot about politics this year because of the elections and because I do have the right to vote now since I'm of age. But, I learned a lot about my country.
That's crazy. And Miranda, what takeaways do you have?
Just that you don't have to be completely obsessed with politics, but you should at least be informed so that you can, you know, make a good voting decision for yourself and just know what's going on.
That's certainly true. And audience, thanks so much for having us on Blake Radio Rainbow Soul. This is Teen Station, and please stay tuned to us for our next show with a plastic surgeon from Beverly Hills who's going to talk about hygiene of teens, which is definitely important, looks and everything. So always tell us your thoughts. We would like to continue to spread your word. And here, we love to hear what you have to say. Follow us up on Twitter, Teen Station, and you'll be able to find our teen host as well. So thank you, of course, for listening to Teen Station, and where you can always engage in the perspective of all and the opinions of many. This is our untapped truth. So what do you have to say? Have a good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye.